Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A special House committee dedicated to countering China, holding its first hearing in prime time, featuring testimony from witnesses including former Trump National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster.
Perhaps most important, this committee can help determine the combinations of policies and legislation necessary to counter CCP aggression and rebuild America's and the free world's competitive advantages.
Speaking for the first time on his bureau's assessment of the COVID-19 virus, FBI Director Christopher Wray says it likely originated from a potential lab incident in Wuhan, China. Authorities in northern Greece say 16 people were killed when a passenger and freight train collided. Manatee County Fire Rescue Chief Robert Bound says a train carrying more than 30,000 gallons of liquid propane has derailed.
It's probably going to take several days to get this completely cleaned up. They'll have to rebuild the track because it's destroyed.
No injuries reported. This is ABC News. Gun reform advocates rallying at the Texas State Capitol, including 10-year-old Caitlin Gonzalez, who survived the massacre at Robb Elementary last May.
I remember hearing my best friend's screams, and I remember hugging her that morning. I hugged her and Eliana at the awards ceremony, told her I would call her after school. I never got to that call, and I was watching the news. I saw that Eliana was missing. I texted Jackie, Eliana's missing, are you okay? The next day I got the news from my mom.
Texas lawmakers considering a handful of gun bills. The Commerce Department opening the application process for computer chip manufacturers to access nearly $40 billion in government support to build new factories and expand production. Mexico's president says Tesla has committed to building a plant in Monterrey. More details, including what will be made there, will be released tomorrow. Andy Field, ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Two major bridge projects are included in Governor Evers' budget proposal. The governor wants to set aside nearly $100 million combined in bonding for the Blatnik Bridge, connecting Duluth and Superior, and the South Bridge project of the Fox River in Brown County. Wisconsin and Minnesota will split the cost of the estimated nearly $2 billion Blatnik Bridge replacement. Transportation officials are hopeful federal money will cover the bulk of the project costs. The bridge opened in 1961. And has been deteriorating. More than 30,000 people use the bridge daily. 41-year-old Alan Bone of Rock County was arrested Saturday night for his fourth OWI. A passenger riding in Bone's vehicle was killed in 2003 while Bone was driving drunk. A Janesville officer also found 28 grams of cocaine. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. Hey, sis, missed you this morning.
Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Ah, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats, okay?
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
Or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at therickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, I think the bumper sticker, I'm going to come up with a bumper sticker because I've been saying this for years. It's not about red or blue, it's about green. But to hear Rupert Murdoch say that about the F channel and the fake news that comes out of it, agreeing that, all the hosts were full of you-know-what, and admitting, it's not about fair and balanced. It's not about facts. It's about money. And the fact that you had the schmucker going on about that he's not a news person, he's entertainment. It's just one of those things that you go, we've been saying this for years, but to hear it come from them, it's kind of still special for me. And here to share some thoughts on the most recent information coming out of this Dominion lawsuit, and maybe there's going to be more fun and entertainment, I've asked Andrew Lawrence to come talk with us. Andrew is the Deputy Director of Rapid Response over at Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org, the website. Andrew, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, Rick. Thank you for having me. We have a lot to talk about tonight.
So, I look at this statement, it's not about red or blue, it's about green.
Yep.
The most honest thing I think you'll ever hear come out of someone from Fox News.
Yep. And we have been saying it for years. I know you've been saying it for years. It's obvious to any partial observer who puts on Fox News. And this is why we have the critical race theory panic and the trans panic. It's not just January 6th, which is what this Dominion filing is about, those lies. But this is how Fox News chooses their programming, is how to keep eyeballs on their channel, how to keep people engaged and enraged. And that one quote just sums it all up so perfectly.
Yep. No, it's like any drug dealer. You got to keep them addicted to your drug. And mm-hmm. the drug of the F channel and the right wing talk space is all about outrage. So the more outrage candy they can shove down people's throats, the higher their profit. It's that simple. And again, it's a metric that we've talked about, that I've talked about on this show for almost two decades now. It's not surprising. But again, there's something a little special to have him have put his hand on the Bible, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, not but the truth. So help him, God, and him to come out with that.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And one thing I was thinking about just before joining you here is, it's not about red, it's not about blue, it's about green. He really means that. Like, these election lies that they were pushing also really hurt the Republicans in the 2022 midterms. I mean, democracy was a giant issue there as well. And, so it's hurting the Republican Party as well. And it's all about putting money into, the Rupert Murdoch's pocket, Tucker Carlson, all the hosts, all the boards. And, appealing to the lowest common denominator isn't something new. But I think doing it with the whiff of credibility that you have with a news channel, it becomes something incredibly dangerous. Yeah. And they just don't care because they're getting rich off of it.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing that's, I think is different here. Because if I remember right, several years before this, you had Les Moonves say, you know, Trump may be bad for the country, but he's good for our profits. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The difference there, I think, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, is that that news or that organization wasn't making stuff up. You know, wasn't, you know, reporting things that they knew what were factually incorrect. That to me is the difference, that they would literally, you know, it really is bread and circus. It really is political theater, and, you know, truth be damned.
100%, yeah. And it's all motivated by profit, you know. And, you know, all of these channels, CNN, MSNBC, they get things wrong. But I believe that they try to get things right, at least. And they don't knowingly push stuff out there that they know to be false, especially when motivated by profit. And that is 100% what Fox News is doing, and everybody is in on it. Everybody at Fox News knows what's going on. It's very explicit behind the scenes. And, you know, I get frustrated because it's so open and out there in the public, and their viewers just don't seem to care. You know, I'm sure you've gotten the same thing on Twitter with Fox News viewers coming in and defending them, even, you know, since these filings have dropped. And it blows my mind how desperate they are just to have somebody tell them, some person on TV tell them that they're right about things. Right about things that they're wrong about. Yeah. It's the only thing they care about, and it's incredibly frustrating.
No, it's crazy. But here's the thing, and I'll throw this to you, because I used to go to all the talkers conventions for years. Mm-hmm. You know, I would go to New York and rub elbows with, you know, with Hannity and O'Reilly and Alex Jones and all of them. And I always came away with this feeling that none of them believed any of the stuff that they were spewing, because in person they were decent people to talk to. It was all about the sale. And you look at the responses coming out of these emails from Tucker and Ingram and the rest of them. They knew what they were saying was patently false. They knew they were in on this. So the question for me has always been, which is worse? Someone who truly believes. You know, they were the true believers of the big lie, and they mm-hmm. were pushing it, and they were the true believers, or the people who knew that they were selling snake oil and it was just about the money. And I've always said it's the people, it's just about the money, because I can almost forgive a true believer for being stupid. But the other to me, there's just something so much worse about that.
It's that cynicism and the nihilism almost. I mean, they are causing destruction. They are inspiring mass shootings and you know, storming of the Capitol, all of these things. And they don't believe it, and they're motivated just by adding a 20th wing to their mansion in New Hampshire. You know, it's very depressing. Yeah, it's quite upsetting. I don't know which one. I don't know which one is totally worse, though, because at the end the damage is the same. The damage to the country is really the same. But yeah, to just be so open about it that you're doing this just to line your own pocket is really it's just so cynical. It's just so gross.
Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Andrew Lawrence. He's the Deputy Director of Rapid Resource Response over at Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org, the website. We'll get links out on social media. So I guess the question now becomes, will this matter? Because, you know, and when this first broke, I said, look, this people like me already knew this stuff. We already believed this is how they were operating because we paid attention. The people who bought who drank the Kool-Aid, you know, who are stuffed on the outrage candy, they're never going to believe it. So do you have any hope that the folks who are the Fox viewers buy it? Or is there some mythical middle that you see this affecting? Bottom line, does this matter?
Yes, I think this does matter. I think it matters quite a bit. Now, I don't think that it's going to matter to those P1, those hardcore Fox News viewers that turn it on as a Pavlovian response every single night. They don't even know this is going on. They haven't heard these quotes. They don't know about that. But I do think, like, there is a danger. One of the largest dangers with Fox News and conservative media in general is when their BS breaks that bubble and gets into the mainstream and starts infecting it. And we can see that with the trans panic, the way that it sort of left that bubble and seeped into mainstream media, you know. But I think something like this, the credibility of the network, it just takes such a huge hit. Such an enormous hit that they're clowns over there at this point. It's anything that Fox News is a joke. And then you got to take into consideration the possible financial penalties that Fox News is going to face. And I'm no lawyer. I know how hard defamation is to prove and to win a case on in the States. But the fact that it's gotten this far and it's so damaging, that's just the stuff that we've seen as well, that is just so damaging. It looks really, really bad for Fox News. And look, if it's not about red or blue, but it's about green, and this guy gets fined $1.5 billion, fingers crossed, that could lead to a change in behavior. Maybe, I mean, you know, we'll see, but I guess that's sort of the hope right now, at least.
Or my other thought in this is, you know, the people who this will affect, where they go, oh, they lied to us, they go to a crazier outlet. You know, some of the more extreme ones that have been, you know, booted off of another, you know, cable provider or a satellite provider that I'm not going to give any credit to or name, but you know, that they get their sources of outrage candy from somewhere even more detached from reality. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and you know, it's these people, these hardcore viewers, consumers of conservative media, they really are addicted to just being told that they're right. That's what they need. They need somebody on the TV, or they need, you know, their podcast host, whoever, to tell them that they're right about things, even if they're wrong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They can know that they're lying to them. It doesn't matter. Just tell me I'm right.
So I'm going to ask you about this, because it's now being reported that Fox evidently, and I'm not saying this is absolute truth, but it's being reported that Fox, you know, provided the Trump campaign with confidential information about Biden's ads and debate strategy. I mean, Trump still lost, but you know that, and I don't know, is this illegal? It's certainly unethical. Does this matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think it matters a lot. I don't know how any advertiser, I mean, you know, we're talking about politics here, and we live in the political world. Coca-Cola doesn't want Pepsi knowing what their ad strategy is, you know? Ford doesn't want Toyota knowing what their ad strategy is. And I would think if you're an advertiser, it would give you pause to giving these people money and showing them what your ad strategy is. And, you know, again, I'm no lawyer, but it feels really, really illegal, you know?
If not illegal, at least unethical. I mean, at the minimum.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that there's some sort of non-disclosure agreement as a part of ad contracts. I don't know that, but yeah, either way, it's incredibly unethical. But then, you know, I think we need to look to the Democrats to take a stand here as well. I don't think Fox News belongs in the White House briefing room at this point. I mean, why not just put the head of the RNC in there? Why not put Trump Jr. in the White House press briefing room to ask questions? You know, they don't belong in there. I don't think they should get any access. I think the FBI director on Fox News earlier tonight is like, that's an abomination. You should be going on there after all of this comes out and feeding into their talking points and lending the credibility of your agency and the government overall to Fox News. So I think we need to actually pressure Democrats as well to take a stand here. And that has been an ongoing battle at Media Matters, trying to pressure our side into taking more of a stand against Fox News. And hopefully this sort of sparks that again.
Andrew, it's not just Fox News. It's on any issue.
Yeah.
Getting them to take a stronger stance, a more militant stance on a lot of issues is, well, I'm not going to beat up on them too badly. They've got their problems.
It's a constant frustration of mine as well.
I'm right there with you. But here's the other part of this. And I think a bigger part of the Fox News power is that you've got our political, you know, our elected officials who are doing everything they can possibly do to get the attention of these people, because it is a money maker. Outrage is a money maker. If they can get their 15 minutes on Fox, they can sell their crappy books. They can go to their all of these rallies and all of these conferences they've got. There's a lot of cash to be made as a legislator, as a former legislator, especially in the Fox world. And this is something I think we've got to be talking more about. Is news about news, or is it about entertainment?
Right. And I think that, you know, one thing I've said before is, you know, you look at Fox News when Roger Ailes was there, and the guy was an absolute monster, and, you know, a horrible, horrible human being. But the guy knew how to run a TV network, especially a propaganda network. And when Roger Ailes was there, Fox News really existed to prop up the Republican Party. And since Trump, it's really been flipped on its head to where now the Republican Party exists to prop up Fox News. And Fox News is giving them marching orders. They ran their campaigns the way that Tucker Carlson told them to. They let Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham pick Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker and J.D. Vance. They're letting them pick their candidates. And so it's completely flipped around on its head, and it's a real issue because if the Republican Party doesn't care about winning majorities and appealing to more voters, and they're only going after that 1% of the country that watches Fox News and that is rabid, they're going to get more extreme, and we've seen the proof of that since Trump. And I really think that like Trump sort of ignited that to where it's just about getting on TV, it's just about selling your book, it's just about grifting these people, grifting your followers, and they're so shameless with it, shameless about it. And I would that's another thing I would like to see Democrats try to make that case to these Republican voters as well.
So last question I've got for you is there a way? I get people asking me all the time, you know, how do we compete with the Fox Newses? How do you legislate something? I had someone actually the other day say, we need the fairness doctrine. I'm like, that ship has sailed. You should forget those words in that combination ever existed. But you know, what do you do in this environment? Is there a way to hold these organizations accountable outside of what Dominion is doing, just trying to sue them? And as you pointed out, this is an incredibly difficult lift. Is there a legislative way, or is this just, you know, this is the Wild West of media?
You know, one thing that I keep going back to as a potential solution is, you know, when you get cable or now even streaming, YouTube, Sling, all that, when you order that, you get a package with all the channels, and that's what you're paying for, $70 a month or whatever it is, and you're getting all of these channels. And every single one of those channels gets a chunk of your money. And Fox News actually gets the second highest chunk out of all the channels other than ESPN. So if you have cable, you're giving Fox News nearly $2 a month, every single month, whether you watch it or not. What I think would really help is if there was legislation passed that forced these cable companies and these streaming companies to offer a la carte packages. We only pay for the channels that you watch. I think that would force Fox News to become a little bit more mainstream so that they would have to rely on advertisers again. And they can't do that right now because they're so extreme that no advertiser wants to touch them outside of Mike Lindell. So I think that would really, really help. And then it would force all of these news channels to offer a service. It wouldn't just be talking heads. If I'm going to subscribe to a news channel, I'm going to want to actually get the news and not like talk radio that's just, telling me that I'm right about everything. So I really think that legislation forcing a la carte packaging with cable companies and cable channels, I think it would really help. At least, at the very least, it would help. Maybe not solve everything. I do think it would help a lot, though.
Now, on that vein, because I've had a couple of listeners who've thrown ideas out similar to what you've laid out, only they've gone a different direction instead of the a la carte to making sure that there's balance, to steal the Fox frame of fair and balance, that for every Fox News, there's got to be something equal on the other side. Now, granted, there is nothing equal on the other side. There is no infrastructure on the left. And maybe this would be a way to encourage that kind of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But any thoughts on that idea?
Yeah. Fox News of the left, I think there is an audience that is hungry for actual left-wing news. And they're not getting it right now. And I think that, we can say CNN and MSNBC are liberal, but they're not. I have never seen somebody advocate for like social universal health care on either one of those channels, just as one example. I think the issue is that in order to start a channel like that, you need large corporate backers. And if you're going to be a left-wing channel, you're going to go after corporations pretty hard and the way that they treat their workers and people. And it's just, I think that is a very large conundrum to get over. I'm not smart enough to sort of figure out where the money comes from.
No, I know that problem very well. Thank you for pointing that out. I know it well. But it's worth looking into. Andrew, I appreciate the time. As always, you guys do incredible work. Keep it up, and I look forward to having you get back again real soon.
Anytime, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Andrew Lawrence, he is the Deputy Director of Rapid Response there at Media Matters for America. Check out their website, mediamatters.org. We'll get links out on social media. Quick break, right back with your thoughts. Stick around, listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Nothing more.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Marjorie Taylor Greene making a name for herself again today. Not only did she go after whining that people were harassing her at a restaurant. Remember, this is a woman who made her name chasing a teenager down the street screaming at him on social media. Basically attacking this kid, yelling at him, as he's walking down the street. She's upset that someone did that to her. It's one of those things where you go, live by the sword, die by the sword kind of scenario. But the reason I bring her up is her and Thomas Massey, the only two Republicans, the only two people in the House to vote against the resolution mourning the loss of life in Turkey and Syria because of the big earthquakes there. Just two. Massey and Green. It was 414-2 vote. How do you do that? What kind? Again, these are God-fearing Christian folk. Very, very strange times we live in, and very, very, very scary times. When that is the face of religion in this country, it's frightening. But here's the weird thing, and Andrew. Alluded to it a moment ago that, Fox bought on to the Trump. He got onto the Trump train, and it was all about the cash. It was all about the money. This stuff coming out now evidently has just driven Trump nuts. And, he's actually just furious with Rupert Murdoch. What he put out on social media, why is Rupert Murdoch throwing his anchors under the table? It's under the bus, you moron. Which also happens to be killing his case and infuriating his viewers, who will again be leaving in droves. They already are. Because he had to tell the truth. And this is one of those things where I go back to when people go into court. And if you remember all of the aftermath of the 2020 election, I kept saying, look, I don't care what Rudy Giuliani is saying out in front of the Four Seasons landscaping parking lot. I care about what Rudy says in court when he puts his hand on the Bible, swears to tell the truth, the whole truth, not about the truth, so help him God. That's what I'm listening to. And all of the shenanigans that they said here in Gettysburg when they had their little kangaroo hearing where Trump blathered on the phone for an hour, all of the made-up allegations of I saw this and that not under oath, that they threw out as their proof that the election was rigged to get Fox News to report that all of these nefarious things were happening, they didn't take into a courtroom. And I kept saying, look, if it's true, if any of this stuff you're saying is true, take it into the courtroom and I will then believe you. But it's not until you get in front of that person with a robe on and you put your hand on that book you say you love so much and then you blather it after the threat of perjury is over your head, then I'll believe you. They didn't do any of that because none of them wanted to lose their law license, no matter how drunk Rudy Giuliani was. And what I find interesting coming out of this is one of the executives at Fox, this Cole Allen, he evidently...
A progressive voice for rural... Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A special House committee dedicated to countering China, holding its first hearing in prime time, featuring testimony from witnesses including former Trump National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster.
Perhaps most important, this committee can help determine the combinations of policies and legislation necessary to counter CCP aggression and rebuild America's and the free world's competitive advantages.
Speaking for the first time on his bureau's assessment of the COVID-19 virus, FBI Director Christopher Wray says it likely originated from a potential lab incident in Wuhan, China. Authorities in northern Greece say 16 people were killed when a passenger and freight train collided. Manatee County Fire Rescue Chief Robert Bound says a train carrying more than 30,000 gallons of liquid propane has derailed.
It's probably going to take several days to get this completely cleaned up. They'll have to rebuild the track because it's destroyed.
No injuries reported. This is ABC News.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature for five-year mandatory minimum sentences for felons caught with having guns illegally. Felons aren't supposed to have guns in Wisconsin, but many still do. The bill gets its first hearing today before the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Governor Evers would move bar time in much of southeast Wisconsin back to 4 in the morning during the Republican National Convention next year. And not just for Milwaukee, but for 14 counties, from Madison to Sheboygan to Beloit to Fond du Lac. The RNC will be in Milwaukee from July 15th through the 18th next year. In sports, the Bucks hope to make it 15 wins in a row tonight at Brooklyn. Marquette plays at Butler. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
...a more right to endanger workers. This is Jim Hightower saying, sure enough, bowing to the corporate powers, Ohio lawmakers rejected the safety bill. And that, boys and girls, is why train catastrophes keep happening. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, I found a really great piece over at the Philly Inquirer. And again, it's something we've been talking about for a very long time. This idea that, you know, the right's been throwing out that whole, you know, job killing regulation thing, that every regulation is bad and it's going to kill jobs. And I always retort with, you know, what happened to, you know, why not follow that up with people killing lack of regulation? I look at what's going on out in East Palestine as an example of that. Now, do we need giant flaming examples? No, this stuff happens all the time. Corporate America has figured out that they can lay the externalities of their business right at the doorstep of we the people through our limited health access, through the cancers and the diseases that their products cause, and a government that really doesn't seem to care that much. Just look at how things are going. So I said, when I saw this, got to get my friend Will Bunch back on the show to talk about his most recent piece. Pennsylvania has its own East Palestine. It's not a train. It's over at inquirer.org. Will, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, thanks for having me.
So this is one of those things that I've been talking about for a long time. You know, this idea that we've deregulated. If you go back to the Trump era, he was so proud of the fact that, you know, he was cutting 22 regulations for every new one. He was going to be the deregulator in chief. And now we look at, you know, this horrible outcome and some of it laid right at his feet. And the Republican deregulation fetish.
Yeah, you know, I mean, East Palestine clearly, on some level, is the effect of deregulation. You know, we know that trains definitely need better braking systems than what we have. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth about what rule might have applied to this train or whatever. You know, but the bottom line is that Norfolk Southern spent millions of dollars either first donating to politicians and then hiring lobbyists to make sure that the regulations on them were as little as possible to cut into their profits, whether it was the brakes, whether it was having the right number of workers on each crew, you know, and the rail unions have been warning about these problems for years, and Norfolk Southern fought it tooth and nail and almost brought contract negotiations to the brink of a strike last fall to try and prevent trains from, you know, for workers from having sick leave so that they'll be, you know, healthy and be able to do the job and be able to do their shifts. So, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, and the reason I wrote this piece, though, you know, it was funny. All of a sudden, the Republicans have found religion around East Palestine, right? That, oh, yes, corporations are doing wrong by the people who live in the forgotten Americans who live in these communities in the Rust Belt. And yet, I'm not arguing with them. They're right. A big corporation did do this town wrong by not keeping its trains safe and by creating this hazardous situation. But what a couple things made me laugh. One is just, the biggest thing is the way that they act like East Palestine was some kind of one-off, like this has never happened before, yeah. You know, that, we just noticed that, corporations are doing dirty by the average citizen, you know, and the thing is, if you don't have to look very hard to find all these situations where corporations have done the same thing. They've lobbied for as little regulation as possible. They've, you know, fought the kind of safety and health and environmental things that a strong union would help put in place. They fought against unions. And so the column I wrote today looked at a situation. It's literally 20 miles down the road from East Palestine, right over the border in Pennsylvania, right on the Ohio River. It's this brand new shell. Basically, it's a plastics plant.
The cracker plant. You know,
yeah, it's an ethane cracker. It takes a byproduct from the natural gas that gets fracked in Pennsylvania and Ohio and in that region, and cracks them. It's this process that makes them into these tiny little pellets of plastic, millions of them, which then gets made into toys and auto parts and plastic packaging and things like that. And, you know, the fossil fuel industry has been really trying to gin up interest in any kind of plastic they can make because they have all this stuff that they're pulling from the ground and they don't know what to do with all of it. And they're, you know, they're willing to spend billions to get you to spend billions to make a market for this stuff. And the thing is, so this $6 billion plant that they built, it just opened late last year. It finally is up and running. You know, environmental groups and others said this is going to be a disaster for climate change. And beyond that, just the regular air pollution that comes from this thing, you know, VOCs, chemicals like benzene, you know, what benzene is, it's in the gasoline. It's like the fumes.
It's a carcinogen.
Yeah, it's a carcinogen. And if you're even exposed, you know, just the small amounts of it over time, you could get various respiratory illnesses or rashes or headaches. So this plant opens up and they were given a permit, the amount of chemicals like benzene that they could pollute the air with in a given year. And environmental groups were saying, these limits are way too high. They, you know, this is a dangerous level that you're allowing. Well, forget that, because in just the first 2 months of the plant, they exceeded what was supposed to be their limit for the entire year. So,
well, there's a shocker.
Yeah, right. It was supposed to be their limit for 12 months. They blew right through it in 2 months, and having all kinds of malfunctions at this plant. And when that happens, they have to do flaring. You know, if you've been by one of these giant plants, maybe you've seen something like this, where they're all of a sudden they're sending flames that's into the sky, and they're turning the sky orange, and they're burning hydrocarbons, and it's causing serious air pollution. And it's funny, you know, East Palestine, everybody talks about that black mushroom cloud over East Palestine. That was basically the same thing. The company, in that case, Norfolk Southern, made a decision to burn these chemicals because they were afraid they would blow up otherwise and whatever. That's the same thing that's happening at the Shell plant. They're afraid that their chemical problems are going to blow up. So they have these flares, and they're polluting the heck out of the environment. And it's only been open for a couple months. And unlike East Palestine, you know, the J.D. Vances of the world or the Tucker Carlsons aren't saying boo about this situation.
No, they're not saying boo about any of this, because here's the thing.
Yeah, although frankly neither yet are really any Democrats either. So no, it's not.
And this is where, you know, I come back to this moment. You know, there's this political moment, and you know, the Republicans have now found religion, as I think you've put it, on you know, now we got to care. We've got to make this an issue. And I would argue they're not making it about corporate greed. They're not making it about regulation. They're making it about Pete Buttigieg. They're making it about Joe Biden. They're covering Norfolk Southern in a way that is really masterful, because they're giving someone to blame. They're giving the people of East Palestine someone to blame, and it's Biden and Buttigieg, who did exactly what they were supposed to do. Never mind that, but you know, it's you got a boogeyman. When the
the one thing they know how to do that they're comfortable with is being anti-government. You know, anti-corporation, never, right? Those are their,
and that's my point.
Donors, their patrons. But you know, saying government, you know, is bad. Government doesn't work. Government, you know, we need to shrink government because it's wasteful. I mean, their message makes no sense. On one hand, they're blaming Biden and Buttigieg and these federal agencies. All, frankly, we're learning they don't even know which agencies do what. There's just a lot of ignorance.
Well, they don't care. This is the thing. It's not a matter of that. They just don't care.
But they're screaming. They're screaming, why didn't the government do something? But they're the ones who shrunk government to the size of a bathtub, right? They're the ones who eliminated these regulations that could have been tools in the toolbox of fixing these problems. And, you know, they want to reduce the number of people in these federal who work in these federal agencies. I mean, we saw it with the IRS, where that's a different situation. No,
but to your point here, Will, this is important because you know, I've had numerous people reach out to me and go, well, you know, Joe Biden's president, he could have undone all of the horrible things that Trump did. He could have re-regulated all that stuff. And there's this twisted belief that you could just flip when he became president on the 20th, he could flip the switch and it was all back to where it was 4 years ago. All of the damage Trump did could be undone with one flip of the switch. That's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not possible for a bunch of reasons. I mean, anything he has to do legislatively, he can't because the Republicans can filibuster anything. I mean, that's the thing. Once with our system of so-called checks and balances, once you get something done, it's hard to get something undone, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Biden could have done more and Buttigieg could have done more. And probably now that they've seen how this went wrong in East Palestine, they probably will do more. But
I think the machinery worked as it was supposed to. Within hours, you had people from the EPA and the NTSB. The machinery was moving. They were waiting on the governor to make his choices. If it were me, and the only thing that I think Biden did wrong and Buttigieg did wrong is 2 days afterwards or a day after it happened, there should have been a line of people waiting at the border and them on TV that night going, hey, we're just waiting for the governor's call. We've got everybody ready to go. We've got all this stuff, all these resources just raring and ready. We're waiting for that governor to do his job to tell us to come in. And they didn't do that. That's where I think they fall down. Democrats are horrible at messaging and horrible at the kind of political theater that Republicans are so good at.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of opportunities for that here, right? I mean, if you're Chuck Schumer and you're running the Senate or in the House or whatever, you say, all right, well, you think this train derailment was a disaster and you want to fix things. Here's the bill. I'm introducing a railroad safety bill that'll crack down on Norfolk Southern. I'm sure based on what you guys have been saying publicly the last 2 weeks, I'm sure all of you are going to vote for this, right?
Yep.
And, you know, put up or shut up. And, of course, we know what would happen. Of course, you know, they would freak out and their lobbyist friends would be all over them and they wouldn't be able to do it. And that's great. And we go into 2024 and say, look, you know, we gave these Republicans a chance to do rail safety and they refused to do it. We gave them a chance to stop pollution, like the pollution that's coming from the Shell plant, and they wouldn't do it. Because they can't.
Again, it's messaging.
It's a great lever for the Democrats. And I don't know if they're going to use it. They haven't done it yet. So, we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll see. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Will Bunch. He's a national columnist with the Philly Inquirer. You can check out his work at inquirer.org. He's also the author of After the Ivory Tower Falls, How College Broke the American Dream and Blew Up Our Politics and How to Fix It. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at it. Big, big fan of this book. I do want to change gears a little bit. I guess it's kind of the same thing, actually. It's in the same realm because I argue, you know, when this derailment happened, it's amazing to me that the people who told me government can't do anything, government shouldn't do anything, government's inept, are the first people to scream, where's the government when something goes wrong? Right. And you know, I have my tenther friends also who are saying, you know, where was Biden? Not understanding that their own ideology is keep the federal government out. It's the states that do this. It's very twisted to me, I'll be honest. But I look at this, you wrote a piece not too long ago about how Wall Street finally grew a conscience around climate and the GOP is strangling it. And I look at Trump's comments this past week that he's vowed to ban these ESG things. Maybe you've heard about them. It's a way of investing in companies that are environmentally, socially, and have good governance policy. This kind of idea that we care about the companies and how horrible they are, and maybe we invest in the good ones. Trump evidently is going to ban these kind of things because, well, oil companies gouged us, which is really twisted to me. I'm curious your thoughts.
I mean, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but, you know, like you said, I mean, what the principle here is some people in the financial world actually sat down and realized, you know what, rather than just only look at what maximizes the quarterly profit, you know, that only look at what makes the most money, for the shareholders, you know, without any thought of any of the other stakeholders, including the people who need to breathe the air, you know, around our factories, the people who have to deal with climate change that's caused by our product potentially, you know, none of that matters. And you realize, well, if you look beyond the quarter, if you look 5-10 years down the road, you know, people aren't going to buy our, you know, home improvement products if their homes are underwater because of climate change. You know, that there's a bigger picture here, and you know, maybe it's good business to use our investment abilities to do some good things. So, I mean, ESG in the financial world, you know, stands for environmental, social, and governance, and you know, it's a principle that you know, you try and invest in people who are doing good things. So, I mean, climate is the most obvious example because you invest more in clean energy, you know, wind or solar, and you stop investing in the dirtiest fossil fuels that are causing the worst climate change. And there's just a bunch of Republican governors and Republican legislators, you know, the Rick DeSantis's of the world, who are just having a total freak out about that because their base of support is rich oil men, you know, the Koch brothers and people like that. And they just can't have this, you know, and they say, well, you know, they are shortchanging investors because they're not using the right principle. They're not making the most money for their investors.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Will, and this is where, again, I come back to this weird kind of moment, because you have these Republicans who have said for years that they believe in individual rights, they want government out of their lives, the free market. This seems to be something that they would stay the hell out of, because investors are making choices. This is the free market. These companies are saying we're going to attract investors by doing things that they want, as opposed to what we want. I mean, there's a part of me that goes, this is what something Republicans should be championing as a way forward. We don't need government. We can have the free market solve these problems.
Yeah, I mean, these big financial companies like BlackRock and Vanguard and all these other companies, they wouldn't be making those choices to do this ESG thing if it wasn't good, if they didn't think it was good business, if they didn't think it was good for their company. I mean, you know, they're still at the bottom, at the end of the day, their ultimate purpose is to do what's good for their business. It's just they gave it some thought and they thought, well, you know what? Like you said, investors want this. There are benefits, you know, the community benefits from this. You know, we're better citizens. It's just a better situation all around. But it is the free market. They're freely making a decision to make these investments. And you have government saying, no, you can't invest your money this way. You have to invest it that way. I mean, that's the. I mean, it's totally topsy turvy. You know, upside down. You know that the. You know, and that's what somebody like Ron DeSantis is all about, though, right? Yep. I mean, he using state power. You know, forget these libertarian principles. He wants to use government to influence everything, to destroy his enemies, like Disney. You know, he wants to use government to control what teachers can say in the classroom. You know, I mean, you know, it's amazing. I was listening to the news on the radio. I was out doing some errands today and hearing the news. And three or four of the top stories on the news all were in the same vein of people being afraid, a climate of fear out there that, you know, teachers are afraid to say certain things in their classroom. Another story was about doctors who are terrified now of even mentioning the word abortion because of these laws in Republican states. And there was a study out today of teachers are more, you know, censoring themselves than they did during the era of Joe McCarthy in the 1950s.
Wow.
You know, that's the kind of climate that these allegedly small government Republicans are creating. They've created a big brother that's terrified the average person, teachers and doctors and regular folks, from doing what they do, and even investors, you know.
Yeah, but remember, these are the people who believe in free speech, Will. These are the free speech champions. First Amendment people.
Right, as long as you don't mention abortion or or Rosa Parks, or, you know, I mean, it's just crazy.
We do live in interesting times, but good stuff. I appreciate the time, Will. Hope people will take a look at the most recent piece on East Palestine and the train and Pennsylvania's cracker plant. We'll get links out on social media. I can take a look at that. Also, the book, After the Ivory Tower Falls. We'll get links out on that as well. Will, I appreciate the time, man.
It was great, Rick. Thanks so much for having me.
Good stuff. Our good friend Will Bunch. Again, make sure you check out the work that he does. We'll get links out. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So, again, another one of these. It's got to be Florida. You got a state senator, a guy named Blaise Inguglia. Blaise Inguglia, a Republican, has introduced Senate Bill 1248. And what does he want to do with Senate Bill 1248, titled The Ultimate Cancel Act? Because evidently Blaise is unhappy with cancel culture. You know, he wants to be able to be homophobic and racist and misogynistic. He wants his God-given right. He says if it's passed, it would ban the Democratic Party. You can't make this up. And this is one of those things where you go, this is where Republicans, you know, they understand bills that are probably never going to hold constitutional muster, but know how to rally the base. And this is where the outrage candy comes in. This is where Blaise is going to get his minute on Tucker. Blaise is going to get his spotlight. Blaise is going to get on the F channel and the podcast circuit because Blaise is outrageous. We're going to ban Democrats. We're going to cancel them. The ultimate cancel culture. This is the world we've come to. And why is he doing it? Because, well, he's angry at Democrats for, you know, caring. And I point to this state senator in Nebraska. Again, there are two different, you got the Florida guy, Blaise, and the state senator from Nebraska, Michaela Kavanaugh. Michaela has said that if the folks there in Nebraska move forward on the anti-trans bill that they are working on, that she will filibuster every piece of legislation. She said she's going to make this legislative session painful, the most painful ever. She said if this legislature collectively decides that legislating hate against children is our priority, then I'm going to make it painful for everyone. If you want to inflict pain upon our children, I'm going to inflict pain upon this body. I have nothing but time, and I am going to use all of it. I will burn the session to the ground over this bill. And not this I understand. Now, the messaging, I'm not, you know, crazy about, you know, that you're going to stand on this bill, because for me, it's not about the particular bill. It's about life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. I don't understand all the trans stuff, and I don't even pretend that I do. But what I do understand is I don't want government at all involved in really sensitive family decisions. I know that a zealot government is not a good thing for difficult decisions, especially when you know that these are being put forth for political purposes. I question the motives of every person moving these forward, because it's a national movement. It's a movement to feed the outrage to the minions. But for her, good on her for stepping forward and saying that she's going to fight this. I wish Democrats would do this on a lot of stuff. Now, the thing that's going to be interesting, how fast do Republicans end the filibuster in Nebraska? I'm going to be paying attention. Want to hear your thoughts, though? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic